This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Aaron Rodgers is staying a Packer, and Russell Wilson has been traded from Seattle to Denver in what Adam Schefter is calling the biggest deal in NFL history. Many draft picks, players as well. If you take a look, guys, at that division, you now have quarterback-wise Wilson, Mahomes, Herbert, and Derek Carr. Not bad.
And yet another deal that just shows that this entire thing is about one thing, and that is finding the quarterback. But you will do absolutely anything. Trade multiple players, Drew Lock, Noah Fant, the tight end, defensive lineman Shelby Harris, 2 first-round picks, 2 second-round picks, and a 5th-round pick. 8 players for Russell Wilson. What would that number have been for Rodgers, guys?
The Michael K. Show.
Did they even buy themselves a playoff spot?
On 98.7 ESPN.
All right, here at the Michael K. Show, we're all fans of Bomani Jones. He has a new late-night series, Game Theory, with Bomani Jones, featuring Emmy-winning sports journalist and commentator Bomani Jones, discussing timely issues that transcend the world of sports. It debuts this Sunday, March 13th. It's at 11:30 p.m., and new episodes will debut each Sunday for 6 weeks on HBO and then be available to stream on HBO Max. And no streaming involved right now. We're going to talk to Bomani live, and we're glad that he could join us on the show. Bomani, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. Congratulations on the new show.
Thank you, Matt. I appreciate it.
Well, you certainly have a lot to talk about with this Rodgers and Wilson stuff. Were you stunned by any of this?
Yeah, I'll be honest, Matt. I had my head so far up my own keister with this TV show that every now and then I drop in and I saw, like, the Rodgers thing was no surprise. I think it was just a matter of them figuring out exactly what the money would be. But I guess all those years of Brett Favre, he learned the power of pretending like you might not do this anymore. The Russell Wilson thing is actually more interesting to me because I'm not sure how much he has left. And giving up that much for a 33-year-old quarterback who takes 40-something sacks a year, this could go either way.
But what's interesting to me, Bomani, is not even does he have anything left, because clearly Denver believes he does. But let's say he does play fantastic. You're in a division with Justin Herbert, with Mahomes. You're in a conference that's got that is stacked. I mean, could Denver actually improve and he play great and they miss the playoffs?
With that roster, if Russell Wilson plays decently, because we have to remember they basically only had terrible quarterback play. If he just plays decently, then I think they definitely make the playoffs. And so I agree with the in the same division with Mahomes. But on one hand, you could say in the same division with Herbert. But until proven otherwise, what you really mean is in the same division with the Chargers. And you should be able to be better than them if Russell Wilson is your quarterback.
What does this mean for the rest of the carousel, Bo? Like, is there any other interesting movement you think that could possibly happen here? Or are we just looking at, you know, Mitch Trubisky finding a new home and calling it a day?
Well, I mean, I'm starting to wonder now after hearing this if we just found out that Mitchell Trubisky's new home is going to be Seattle. Because, like, did somebody tell Pete Carroll we're tearing the whole thing down and starting over? Because he's a little bit old for that, one would think. I don't know beyond this, like, where we see the move. The big one, of course, is what in the world is or isn't going to happen with Deshaun Watson. And I have literally no idea how that one's going to wind up resolving itself. But I think that I actually think like the Trubisky, Jameis Winston class of quarterback movement could be kind of interesting because nobody seems to be too excited about the quarterbacks that are in this draft.
I'll tell you this. I've been saying this for a while, Bomani, and maybe you think I'm absolutely crazy, but even when he retired, I said, Tom Brady's coming back. I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year, but he's coming back. Well, he sees Rodgers get $50 million a year when the most he ever made was $25 million. I mean, he calls the 49ers now. He's going to get that kind of money for 1 year. Do you think that Tom Brady will play again?
I don't, because this is always tricky when we are familiar with a player's wife. It thereby makes us believe we know a lot more about their situation and start making assumptions. Mm-hmm. However, it doesn't feel like this was a unilateral Tom Brady decision, right? if he's like, hey, man, you know, I could make $50 million, you'll cut him a check if it really comes down to that. Like, I think what we're going to find out is how much he enjoys being retired. Like, I think it was Lefty Giselle when he was at Georgia State. He caught the flu and missed 2 weeks, and that was the first time he'd ever taken 2 weeks off, and he never came back.
Right. Exactly.
I'm interested to know, we've had this debate before. What is more incredible to you, that Tom Brady was able to excel at this advanced age playing quarterback of the NFL, or what LeBron is doing right now in the NBA?
Boy, they're both way up there. The thing that was wild about Brady is that he actually improved between the last season in New England when it looked like he was finished through those 2 years in Tampa. But with LeBron, it's interesting because he's been such a dominant like topic of conversation for so long, but he really hasn't been the best player in the NBA unequivocally in about 9 years, like since he left Miami. There hasn't been a no debate, this is the best player in the NBA. Not so much. But he is without question the best player. And forget about just at this age. It's him being in his 19th year. I remember when Kareem was in his 19th year. It yep. wasn't this. It wasn't anything close to this. And he's doing it all for a sorry team. I would hate to be him right now.
I was going to say, Bo, there are so many interesting storylines right now in the NBA. The implosion in Los Angeles. What's going to happen in Brooklyn? Let's start there for a second. What's your take on what happened in Brooklyn? Let's go back a little bit. The end of James Harden into the deal with Ben Simmons. How do you see what played out in Brooklyn?
I think Kevin Durant made the wrong political move. And when I say that, I mean when Omicron was running these streets, right, when it was Blue Magic out here, I think they panicked and were like, yo, we need to get somebody else in here. And finally, let's get Kyrie back. Okay, cool. Except you really needed James Harden to be on board with that if you were going to make that play. And James Harden was not on board with that. And we see how that then ultimately ended. Because the thing about James Harden is when he don't want to play for you no more, he's just not going to play. He might play for you, but he's not going to play. And he looks like a different person in Philly, just like he looked like a different person when he got to Brooklyn. And so I just think that for Harden, especially for a guy that had run his own team for so long in Houston, once his call was made that you were going to let this dude be half in, half out, and keep in mind, Kevin Durant has championships. Kyrie Irving has a championship. James Harden's still trying to get the damn thing. And I got to put up with this madness? Mm. Oh, man. I just thought that if you had to pick somebody to ride with, I'd have rolled with Harden over riding with Kyrie.
Now, we mentioned this yesterday. He's on with Bomani Jones. He has a new show on HBO this Sunday, Game Theory with Bomani Jones. We'll talk more about that as we move along. But we talked about this yesterday, Bomani. Listen, if you say that, like, even Aaron Rodgers said, I don't want to get the vaccine. I don't trust it. I don't think it's good for me, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whether you believe that or not. And everybody has the right to not get the vaccine or not. But Kyrie wasn't coming down on health. Kyrie was coming down. He didn't like being told, and he didn't like the mandate for workers. Does this make him a bad teammate, Bomani?
I mean, you can make the argument. I think that the answer for that comes from people who are on these teams, right? Like, they're the ones that get to decide whether or not somebody's a good or bad teammate. And it sounds like if you ask James Harden, he would say bad.
Right.
It sounds like it's there. And now we wind up with Kyrie sending shout-outs to Eric Adams after the game. And that is one hell of a duo right there, boy. I don't know what to make of either one of them.
Now, but we've talked about this with Durant. Like, Durant's a great player, Bomani, but I don't know what kind of leader he is. I don't know how outspoken he is. Do you think he sides with Kyrie or just doesn't have it in him to go to Kyrie and say, dude, I followed you here to Brooklyn. You got to get vaccinated?
No, I think that he looked at it like, I'm not going to be able to make him do anything. Like, there's no point in coming in and be like, you're going to get the vaccine, because he just wasn't going to do it. I don't know, like, I don't have real information about, like, Kevin is leader so much, but I think that he's the kind of guy that looks at Kyrie and is like, look, man, this dude can ball, and if we can get him out here, we can win, and then we'll make the rest work. But I'm just floored by the fact that he ever thought that you could really get it through everybody to have a guy that only is there half the time.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
So what do you think about the Westbrook meltdown that we're seeing? I mean, this is – I'm trying to think of a time, Bo, when a surefire Hall of Famer completely seemingly forgot how to play basketball and was the reason that a team that was supposed to be good, or at least was a major contributor – as to why that team is a disappointment. What are you getting from this Westbrook situation?
Well, as a giant Russell Westbrook fan, it breaks my heart, right? Because I have been a defender, and part of why I've been a defender is I don't root for his teams. Therefore, I love all the energy, right? I love that he's mad all the time. I love that aggression. I love every single bit of it because the consequences of it don't matter. I'm just here to be entertained.
Right.
Now, what's happened with him this year, he was done in Washington. And if you looked at any of the advanced numbers, it spoke to the fact that he was done. But the problem is he still could put up those big counting stats. But I thought he was still valuable to a team like Washington because you got young guys that need to learn how to be professionals. And Russell Westbrook, if nothing else, is a professional. But the Lakers brought him there thinking that he was going to help them win. And I just couldn't understand how anybody could look at the way he played the last 2 years and it would go that way. But you can't get him to fall back because, A, he has a game that's not conducive to falling back. But, B, you're also – he's like, yo, put up 25-8-8 or whatever his numbers are this year. How are you going to tell that man that he's not playing well?
And he gets $47 million next year. So the Lakers obviously try to use that as a carrot to trade him. So, Bomani, tell me about game theory and what's it going to be about this weekend.
All right, so what we're doing here, and if you've ever listened to any of, like, me on radio or on podcast, I got a podcast called The Right Time with Bomani Jones that I think you should check out. And
for Which has the greatest promo I've ever heard on radio, honestly.
It's a fantastic promo. I hit you when we played it. Bomani said he didn't even really know what it was, but I told him it was a great commercial.
What's your favorite podcast? It's about to be your second favorite podcast. That's great.
That's a winner, and they were right, by the way. But so that's always like the freest version because the podcast is an opt-in thing, right? Like, you know, guys, when you do radio, so much of what you do is for people that are just scanning. You want to make sure that you can hold their attention if they hadn't already bet on it. People have to opt into your podcast. They have to decide that they're going to listen. And so what I want to do is take the ways that I talk about those things and the range and the freedom that I can have in that space. But now I'm doing it on an operation where I got a team of writers behind me. We got a field department. We got a news department. We got all of these things. So I walk into a meeting, and I'm like, okay, this is what I think about this issue. How do we bring this to life? And so now we're going to have all kinds of tools at our disposal to do different ideas and come up with stuff. And we got different interviews that we got going. I'm not sure how much HBO has embargo, but I can tell you that we will definitely have Selection Sunday in mind, and we will have an interview with one of the biggest names in sports that's going to be there. And it's fun, man. Like, that's, I think, the thing that we haven't really done the best job of getting across in some of this promo is, I'm talking about we're going to break down the deeper issues in sports. But if you know me, I'm going to break them down, and we're going to be laughing about it the whole way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we wish you great luck with it. We really do. I'm just curious. You're part of the HBO family. You've been on Bob Costas' show, and now you have your own gig. Have you seen Winning Time yet?
I have not seen it yet.
Oh, you're going to love
it. Check it out.
You're going to love it.
Well, anytime I would do a call with HBO and McKay was on it, I'm Adam McKay, who's executive producing that. He's also an executive producer on our show. We'd have to sit for 10 minutes while they talked about Winning Time. Like, I mean, I think they picked it up for a second season before the first episode ran. So I'm assuming it's pretty good. I wish they do that
great.
With my show.
It's great. You're going to, if you love basketball, and I mean, even if you don't love basketball, it's so well done. It's just brilliant. You're going to love it. HBO is on a winning streak, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, and that is my buddy Jeff Perlman also wrote the book that's the source material for that. The book is called Showtime, but, you know, can't really call it that on HBO.
Well, we are. I never thought of that.
Me neither.
We're going to have Jeff on. We're going to have him on today, but with the football news breaking, we had to move him to tomorrow. But Jeff is going to be on with us at 4:30 to talk about the show. I'm curious, Bomani, what's your take on the Ridley situation? Was it too much punishment or not enough? And do you think that the NFL being in bed with gambling sites, that more of this is going to happen?
Now, I think that there's a generational gap that's going on here. And I'm not even that old. Like, me and Peter are about the same age, but I'm old enough to remember the Pete Rose situation. And in that time, it was still, like, palpable at the surface, the idea that gambling is a super-duper no-no, period, right? That's gone away. That hasn't really come up, right? Like, we're how far removed from Horning and Alex Karras, how far removed from all these different gambling scandals that took place back in the day. And so I totally see how Calvin Ridley would think, I'm betting on my own team, what's the big deal? Except for the fact that that's really stupid. And so while he says that he does not have a gambling problem, hey, man, if a $1,500 bet costs you $12 million, I feel like you got a problem that was caused by gambling. You might not be addicted to gambling, but you got a problem somewhere there. And so for the NFL, I feel like, yeah, this is a thing that they had to do. I think the dude Josh Shaw a few years ago got busted for going into a sports book at a casino, and they got him. What I think all these guys need to keep in mind, if any of them get this bright idea, if I'm running DraftKings or FanDuel or any site or any gambling operation, and we scan through who put in a bet today and the name of an NFL player turns up, we have to call the authorities because we are the people that are most invested in keeping this thing level. Right. So the idea that he thought that he could go on an app and bet on a game, that is one of the dumber things I could think of anybody doing.
And
it's decidedly Falcon.
And you look at social media, what was popping up all over the place? Video of some questionable decisions he made on the field. So now the question, was he throwing those games? And even though I thought it was bogus and unfair, this is the only thing that can bring this sport down. It's printing money. The ratings are going through the roof. The only thing that can bring it down is people thinking that the games they're watching are being compromised.
Yes, that's the thing that nobody on any level can afford to let slide. So it's not about how much money it was that he bet on the game. If he's got some kind of inside information, that becomes its own problem, right? And the one bright side of this is, I guess you feel better about the fact that he was gambling on a site because those sites actually require you to have the money in order to make the bet. The
right.
real problems come up when you start making bets when you ain't got money and you're making those bets with people who take bets from people who don't have money because they know money magically turns up when your legs are compromised.
Bomani, you must have had the same thought I did, though. Like on, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter yesterday. There was like this incredibly naive conversation going around where people were comparing all of the terrible things that football players did off the field and their relative punishment to Ridley. Not understanding that no one's equating beating your children or wife to placing a $1,500 bet on FanDuel. But it's like they didn't understand that for the NFL's purposes, nothing is more important to them. Screw your personal life. The integrity of the game is way more valuable.
Well, I think there's a larger point, and this is actually something we're going to get into in an episode of Game Theory a little later in the season, which is, it is not the NFL's job to legislate morality. It is the NFL's job to stop its players from gambling.
Like, correct.
The other stuff is a result of the fact that we have such crumbling faith in institutions that the only thing it seems like people believe in is the damn NFL, and they want the NFL to be the arbiters of right and wrong and make goodness happen where none exists. Like, it's a ridiculous thing for us to ask of that league, but it's also a thing the league told us that they, you know, when they made Roger Goodell the enforcer and put him on the cover of Time magazine, they decided that was the way that they wanted to play it. But this right here, they have to make sure that everybody understands you can't do that.
Game Theory with Bomani Jones. It debuts Sunday, March 13th at 11:30. Each episode will debut each Sunday for 6 weeks and then be available to stream on HBO Max. We only wish you great, great things, yeah. Bomani, and I hope that, you know, when you become bigger than big, that you're not going to forget us and we'll occasionally pop on the show.
Dude, I thank you guys so much for having me on here, man. And I'm telling you, this show is going to be a good time. I highly recommend.
Good stuff. Good luck with that.
Thanks, Bomani.
Thanks.
Yes, sir.
You know, the interesting thing that I read about what the NFL rule-wise does, anybody that's involved in the NFL, anybody, cannot gamble on anything except for the players. The only thing the players can't gamble on is the NFL. So if he really had a gambling Jones or he had a gamble, he could have gambled on baseball. He could have gambled on anything else. Anybody else that's employed in the NFL can't gamble on anything. Can't go into a casino, can't gamble on baseball, can't gamble on basketball, hockey, MLS, nothing. But this guy had the opportunity to gamble on anything he wanted except for the NFL. And you know what? He gambled on the NFL. What a clown.
I'm really – there's a lot of people, oh, come on, a year? I don't even know if it's enough.
I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's enough. I agree with you.
I mean, this is – and I'm so glad Peter brought up the whole – because I saw it on, too, on social media, the laundry list of, you know, the drinking and driving.
Ray Rice, that one.
And Bomani's answer was, like, perfect. It's like, listen, the NFL can control what they can control. They can't get in your bedroom. They can't get in your home. They can't get in your head. But the one thing they can do is to make sure that when somebody pops on that television set, that they believe what they're seeing. And that's the one thing that can bring this sport down. It's the only thing that can bring it down. Any scandal you can think of is not going to slay the golden goose, except people believing that they don't really believe what they're watching when a game is being played. So you can't punish these guys enough.
I've got something, when we come back, that will get you more angry about baseball. Now, you're angry already with the, you know, the first week being canceled, and we might be on the doorstep of the second week of the regular season being canceled as well. But something that happened today is going to chap you even further.
Oh, no.
Yeah, even further. We'll talk about it when we get back right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.